Happy Valentine's Day. Okay, close enough. We're going to talk some about love today. So, if you would please stand up again. John 3:16, if you'll recite it with me, please. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Thank you. You can be seated. So for some of us, maybe all of us, that verse, John 3:16, has been in our memory for as long as we can remember. Some of us, probably was even one of the first verses that we did commit to our memory. Have we really committed it to our memory? Do we really say it with feeling when we do recite that verse? Some of us recited that verse as I thought, and how I did until, well, let's look at it a little closer. The John 3:16, when you really start to take it apart, or what's the buzzwords now, unpack that state or that verse, there's four truths about that passage that I want to look at for just a short time here. The first thing is, where does love come from? Well, that verse tells us love is from God. Love doesn't begin with me. Love isn't because of any kind of human goodness, because everybody knows we humans are not all that great at the loving thing. We can love because God first loved us. Number two, there's a measure of love. God so loved us, as we just recited in this verse. And I noticed that part of this verse, and that's what I was getting at a few minutes ago. We tend to just slide right on past that. There's a word in there that is really quite big, even though it's a small word. For God so loved us. So. We just buzz right on through. God so loved the world. But it should be God so loved us. He so loved the world that he gave his only Son. And that comes to point number three that we should take out of that verse, John 3:16. The demonstration of love. He so much loved us that he gave his only Son. He gave his Son to die for us, to hang on a cross. He gave his only Son to do the worst kind of death ever. Connie and I lost a son. He didn't have to go through all that, but I can't imagine giving up my son, any of my sons, either of my sons or any of my children, that had to go through what Jesus went through for us. God so loved us that he gave his Son for our sins. I don't deserve it. God gave his Son anyway. Then the fourth thing is the invitation of love. Whoever believes can take that love in. God's love is offered to us freely. Salvation is not earned. It's a gift we receive that we have to accept. John 3:16 is a New Testament passage about God's love for us, for the world. God has loved the world, his creation, forever, since the beginning. Genesis 1:31, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was not just good, it was very good. God loved what he made. He was impressed with himself, how wonderful the world was that he made, and he loved it. So then, let's back up a little bit into the Old Testament again, but move forward into Deuteronomy. God, talking through Moses, is commanding his people. Deuteronomy 6, 4, and 5. This is Moses speaking to Israel from what God has told him. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. God is one, and we are to love him. He loved us first, because remember back in Genesis 1:31, he loved what he made. It was all very good. It's beautiful to him. Verse 6 goes on to say, These words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart. We're commanded. Love God. Keep him in your heart. Keep love within your heart. I know when I was... During my career in the fire department, I would go to classes and things, and I really didn't like hearing the instructors talk about war stories, as we used to call them. Oh, back in WW, whatever, I used to do it this way, and it always worked great doing this. Well, here's a war story for you. Back when I was a fire inspector, I was the fire safety officer for the city of DeKalb. So I did a lot of inspections, fire safety inspections in buildings and things. And I needed to know the difference between you shall do something, which is in the code books, or you should do something. The word shall is in the code books, the word should is not. You know, it was, I would come and inspect a building like this. And I'd count the number of exits and exit signs and all that. And I had to be able to tell somebody, you shall put another exit door in. You shall put fire extinguishers up in this building or in this position. Then there came times when, well, let me back off of that a little bit. When you're driving down the road, you see a speed limit sign. That speed limit sign, the white ones, that's a shall. You shall not exceed this speed, right? Then when you get on, you're going down the highway and you get on the, you're going to go on the exit ramp, or you're just driving down the road and you're coming to a curve, and you get the yellow one that says 45 or something like that, that's a should. You should slow down because this curve is going to get you. It's not shall. You don't have to. And if something happens to you in that curve and you're doing more than the suggested, nothing's going to happen to you. Shall. Should. We're told, I command thee this day shall be. These words shall be in your heart. Shall be in your heart. Love God, keep love within you. God brought Israel out of captivity, out of the slavery in Egypt, because of his love for his people, Israel. He had special plan. Then he demanded us, them, to love him. He used shall. Not, it would be nice if you were to be loyal to me. Not, it would be better if you were devoted. Not, you should. Instead, it was, I saved you. You shall love me. Deuteronomy 10, 18 and 19. I should have put the little tabs in my... Deuteronomy 10, 18 and 19. He doth execute the judgment of the fatherless and the widow, and loveth the stranger in giving him food and raiment. Love ye therefore the stranger, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. This is the King James Version, but basically what he's saying is, I took care of the fatherless, I took care of the widows, I took care of the strangers in the land. And remember, he's talking to the Israel, you were strangers in the land of Egypt, and I took care of you. And then I brought you out of there. So I want you to remember that and do the same. God defends the care and cares for the weak and the lonely. It's good. Let's look at Exodus 22. Verses 22 through 24. Ye shall not afflict any widow or fatherless child. If thou afflict them in any wise, and they cry at all unto me, I will surely hear their cry, and my wrath shall wax hot, and I will kill you with the sword, and your wives shall be widows, and your children fatherless. A little bit later on, God is telling his people, I took care of you, and we're taking care of all the fatherless and the widows and the strangers and the travelers and all that. Back in Exodus there, don't not take care of those people. If you give them pain and anguish, have you ever heard the statement of don't poke that bear? Don't do it. We need to take care of our those around us. We need to love them. God so loves us, we shall pass love along. We need to remember that. We shall pass love along. This is a message about love, specifically God's love. And he commanded Israel to love him and the fatherless and widows and strangers, travelers, and have reminders of that love all around us. That's how it, where it comes from is the Old Testament. That's what God commanded us. God told us that. Now let's jump forward a couple thousand years. The Bible continues teaching of God's love. Same love, new time and place. John 3:16. God loved us and he gave In 1 John 4, 8 and 10, notice the connection to John 3, 16. In 1 John 4, 8 through 10. Love is defined by the cross. Not warm feelings and good intentions or mere words. God loves us, and we shall love those around us. Remember the passage in Deuteronomy? And John lays it out very clearly. 1 John 4, 11 through 14. Receive God's love. Wrong chapter. Here we are. Beloved, if God so, there's that word so again, so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. We need to receive God's love and accept that gift and then pass that gift on by loving others. Love's not optional for us believers. And I confess, I need to work on that. As my family can attest, I'm not perfect when it comes to the love. I'm not very patient. And I can be grumpy as all heck. My grandkids will definitely attest to that. But we can't receive mercy and not give it. One last passage. 1 John 4, 18. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made in perfect love. Fear says I'm not good enough. Fear says God doesn't see or want me. The more I take a hold of God's love, or the more we take a hold of God's love, the less that we are ruled by fear. John 3:16 shows us the source. God gives us that love. Deuteronomy 10 shows us the command, we shall love. The question's not whether God loves. Oh, he loves. He so loves us, he gave his Son. The question is, am I mirroring that love? I love because he first loved me. Let's look at Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3, 17 through 19. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. We need to know love. We need to spread love. Carter, would you put that up, please? You know, Corinthians 13 is the known as the love chapter. And depending on the version you read of it, the King James actually, where pretty much all the other translations that I've seen say the word love, in the King James it says charity. So I'd like us all to recite this, but where it says love, I'd like you to put the word God. And we may need to change some other words around a little bit too to make it sound right, but God is patient. So if you'll recite that with me. God is patient. God is kind. God is not easy. I can't read it. God is not proud. Not rude. God is not self-seeking. Not angered. Wrongs. God does not delight in the evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always preserves. God never fails. Now, as we go through this week, think of those verses, and we're supposed to love as God does. Put I am patient. I am kind. I got to work on both of those. I do not envy. Do not boast. Because if you're doing those things, you're not loving. We're going to close with hymn number 57.